Well, it's good to be with you again tonight. Who would have ever thought that we're going to be with you on Zoom? Who would have ever thought that we aren't able together? We are thankful we can here in Arlington, but many assemblies are not able to gather out. And that is hard on individuals and hard on the assembly. And so we know that God is in this, and we know that He is working things out for us and working with our nations and working with us as individuals as well. I like the hymn that was given out, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" And we're going to look at that tonight in the life of Abram. Abram's call, from the time he was called until we see him in Mount Moriah and the intervention of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. God called Abram out of a pagan world, out of Ur. And in that pagan world, there they sacrificed their children. God called Abraham to trust him, to believe in him, to have faith in him, and to accept him. What a call. We would look at that and say, oh, there's no use. That would never work. But God knows. And it's for you and I to learn from God's ways and how he approaches and how he will work with us as we work with him. Abram means exalted father. And later it was changed to Abraham in Genesis 17 and 5. We see that. And it means the father of a great nation. So it's exactly how God had called him. So we're going to try to see what lessons we can learn from a period in Abraham's life. Let us look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go unto the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So really, this is the second time that God approached Abram. And we ask the question, how did God talk to him? I often wondered that as a younger, and maybe we got some young people here today and wonder, well, here's a man that probably never heard of God before, but how did God talk to him? Well, Hebrews, and I'll just turn to that. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So we're not really told for sure how God talked to Abram. We know that he talked to those in the Old Testament, sometimes through dreams, sometimes through a vision, sometimes directly, and then, as we heard there, through prophets. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, we read that the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. God told him to get out of his country and to go to a land that he would show him, and God would bless him. Now, in just for a little background here, and especially for you that are younger, God called Abram out of Ur, out of the Chaldeans, and he left with his wife and Lot and others, but also his father. And when they got to Haran, his father held them up. And I'm not sure how long they were there, but they were there until his father died. It's interesting. His father didn't have the same exercise of heart that Abram had. And God just waited. God waited his time. Sometimes I'm sure Abraham must have often said, you know, God called me to go further than this. He called me to go into a land and we're on our way, but we're hung up here. And sometimes as maybe a younger individual, you'll have an exercise. It may not be to go to the mission field, but you'll have an exercise that God has laid on your heart. And you talk about it to somebody else, and although they don't think it'll work, but they may be like Abraham's father. He didn't have I'm sure Abraham told him, but God said, it's okay, we will just wait. And so if we find that things aren't going just the way we think they should in where we are with God, remember, God's timing. Sometimes there's a pause. Sometimes he waits. Maybe there's something that we need to learn before we move on. But Abraham believed and obeyed God. And they left Ur, and as I said, they went to Haran and was stalled there. God is calling us today. You that are younger, would you know the voice of God if he called you? Would you know it as God that's touching your heart? How would you know? Well, we'll look at that. But he's calling us to trust him. First of all, to trust him in salvation. And if you're here tonight and not saved, you've probably heard the gospel often. And perhaps you know that you've been convicted and you need to be saved, and yet for some reason, you're not. Some reason, you maybe rebelled against God. But God is calling you. And oh, that you would respond tonight to the call of salvation and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But then God is also calling us to have faith in him, to believe in him, to accept him, and to serve him. Because we are saved to serve. And that's when we are the happiest, when we are serving him. And again, it doesn't mean a mission field necessarily, but our mission field is our backyard. Our mission field is the home where we are. We heard on a prayer tonight, no matter where we go, we can have the opportunity to maybe hand out a tract or to just remind somebody that God loves them and Christ died for them. God is calling us. How does God talk to us? Well, in Hebrews 12 and 2, he talks to us through his Son, through the Bible and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Uncle John Adams used to say, the Spirit nudges us. Kind of, you know, maybe an elbow in the ribs. But the Spirit of God gets our attention. Sometimes it's in our private reading. Sometimes it's at a ministry meeting. And I can remember one time I was asking God for something when we lived in Calgary. And Sunday morning, at the end of the morning meeting, a brother got up and gave a little word. And it was an answer to my prayer. I was ready to get up and say, thank you, Lord. But there, we never know how God is going to answer our prayers. We never know when we get a word for Sunday morning that it's a word that God is going to use to work on somebody else. We always need to be ready to serve Him. And so, have you heard His call? Again, John 5 and 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." As we look at Abraham and his faith and see him go from a land that was totally away from God and to believe in a God that he had not seen, that is why he is the picture, the great picture of faith in the Bible. There's a number of scriptures that refer to the faith of Abraham as he walked with his God. So remember, we are saved to serve. And I'll ask the question, and everything has kind of gone, you know, for us, what we normally used to do, we haven't been able to in a lot of areas. But we need to realize that there are other areas that God can use us. And so we would ask ourselves, how are we doing and serving God? God had a plan for Abram, and God has a plan for you and I. Don't forget that. God has a plan for each one of us, and especially you that are younger. God has a plan for you. Remember, whatever God promises to do, he does. Whatever God begins, he finishes. Nothing can keep God from carrying out his plans and accomplishing his purposes in our lives. Each one of us are important to God. God is still the same today as he was in the days of Abraham. God is loving. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's forgiving. And sometimes, as a believer, we make a bad mistake in our life. We fall, we stumble, we know we're off track. God knows too. And God loves you. And God wants you back. We spoke about the prodigal last week. But if you're there and you're out of touch, God has you on his heart. And probably most of the believers in the assembly would have you on their heart as well. God has not forgotten his plan to save people from sin. And we wait for the rapture. We wait for the call. But until then, God wants us to be busy. God is going to test Abraham in his faith, his obedience to God. God tests each one of us at different times. And God tests us not to trick us up, but God puts us through a test to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith in him, to be stronger in our individual life and stronger within the assembly. So let us look at Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket and by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it was said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Interesting story each time you read it. But here we have test number one. God promised Abraham a son, a great nation. And the test number one was God did not deliver that promise until the right time. Till it was too late, really, for Abraham and Sarah to have a son. But God's timing is always right. Abraham never lost his faith in God. He was always obedient. We know that from Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. And this was talking about Abraham and this promise, the son. It said that he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's very interesting. Abraham staggered not. As you drive down the road and you see a person and they are going from one side of the sidewalk to the other, and you hope they don't go out in front of your car, what are they doing? They're staggering. They're under the influence probably of alcohol. Abraham staggered not. He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, and his faith was in God, and he never lost sight of that faith. And I'm sure that he would have been tempted often, especially as he got older. Maybe some of his old friends might come up and nudge him and say, Where is the son? Where is your God? But Abraham was faithful. When God calls us, it won't always be easy. But here with Abraham, again, God was testing him and God was proving him. Now God is putting Abraham to the test once again. Test number two. God called Abraham and gave him the instructions. The test, take your son Isaac and sacrifice him. You think that Abraham's mind went back to his country where he was born, where there was child sacrifices? Take now thy child, Isaac, thy son, whom thou lovest, and sacrifice him. I like when God called Abraham right away. Here I am. When the angel called him, here I am. Would we hear God if he called us? And when he called us, would we know the Spirit of God is talking to our soul? God's trying to get our attention. And again, as I mentioned, sometimes he talks to us through ministry. through circumstances, through other means. So what is this test all about? Who is most important, God or Isaac? We must always give God the first priority. Abraham's actions, he heard God's voice. And he understood it was of the Lord, it was of God. He had experience by this time of hearing God's voice. But maybe you that are younger haven't. And I think of Samuel. Samuel was just a lad. And he was there with Eli and the house of God. And as nighttime came and Eli was in bed sleeping and Samuel was laying there, God called him. And he said, "Here I am." But he thought it was Eli calling him. He was just a lad. And he ran into Eli and he woke up. He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Happened three times. Three times the Lord called him. Three times this lad said, "Here I am." And when he came the third time, Eli realized that God was calling him. And God says, "You go back to bed. And when he calls again, you say unto him, 'Here I am, your servant,' and hear what he has to say to you." So how does God speak to us, young people? Read your Bible. Read it with intent. Read it looking for what God has to say. And read it to hear God's voice. Abraham heard the voice of God. "Here I am." And he acted promptly. He rose up early and he followed God's word. Now, we're not sure if he told Sarah or not. But he got up early in the morning to hesitate when God calls, when God speaks to you. Gives time for the enemy to come in and to bring doubts into your mind. And I could just imagine if Abraham would have hesitated on this, you know that Satan would have been there saying, "Look at what's this God like? He's asking you to do what he took you away from." But Abraham, even if that did come up, and no, Satan isn't going to let him away with these things, but Abraham was strong in the Lord, strong in his faith, and he moved on it. The test number three, test number two was, how is he going to answer? Test number three, God called him, and I'm a little bit ahead of myself here, but God called him out of child sacrifice. And again, that question, it would come to my mind of what happened, of what God called me from, and why? Why this? But we see that Abraham never lost his faith. We see that when they came up the mountain and finally he left the two men. In verse 5, we see his faith. He says, "The lad and I will go yonder and worship and we'll come again." Now, Abraham did not know what we know now as he went up that mountain. He did not know, but one thing he knew, God called him, and he trusted his God. You ever been in a circumstances that you're just pulling your hair out because you don't know why it's happening? What have we done wrong? Oh, what did Abraham do wrong? Nothing. And sometimes things happen in our life, and we wonder, well, when that happens, a little more time on our knees. More time in the presence of God. Look for the answer. We have to be very careful not to judge individuals that are going through a trying time. Sometimes you say, "Oh, I could have told them. They should have been able to see that." Really? Yeah. I think of the old saying of the Indian. Don't judge me or don't judge others until you walked in my moccasins for a mile. Yeah. Sometimes when we feel that people have done wrong, maybe we need to go knock on the door and say, I know you're going through a difficulty. Is it okay if I pray with you? Call of God. Young people, you can do that too. Be aware and be alert. We need to put ourselves into the circumstances of others, like with Abram here. Sometimes we read it and say, oh yeah, okay, because we know the end of the story. But follow him all the way through and ask ourselves, how would we do? What would we do? How would we react? Because that's how we learn what God is dealing with us. God wouldn't ask us to do something if he didn't expect us to go and to come through. I think that Abraham, we don't know for sure, but I think that Abraham said, I'm just going to go and God is going to work it out. I have faith in God. Maybe I'll get there halfway. And then what? But no, we see Abraham all the way through. And I wonder if you and I, if we were there and Abraham is now building the altar and we could see this, would we judge him? Would we run him down? What would we do? Abraham had great faith and he built that altar. Put his son on the altar and took the knife. His actions must show that he was willing to go all the way through God's calling. Four. Now we're coming back a little bit. But another test that he would have went through. As he left, and even with the servants there, alone with his son. But I think as he left them and they traveled on, there he is, knowing what is going to happen. And he looks at his son, the son that he loves. And what is he going to do? What would you and I do? He had time on his hand to think about it. Truly a crisis, a defining moment. It could be a breaking point. And we've seen believers come to that breaking point. They just can't go any further. Whether right or wrong, they have. But Abraham is a good example for us. The test of love. Abraham, who do you love most? God? God's will? Or your son? Isaac was God's gift to Abraham. But the gift had to become a sacrifice to God. If the gift becomes more important than the giver, then the gift becomes an idol. And so Abraham, I don't know if he thought about that or not, but he moved on. Nothing could seem to break him. Moving on to do God's will. We must remember that life is on a loan. God can ask for its return at any time. And God's timing, even though it's hard sometimes in us, God's timing is always right. The other test, the 3-day journey, lots of time to think. Lots of time to think. But we see divine perfection as we see Abraham moving along day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Test number six. Isaac was probably 24, 25 at the time. Isaac had seen many sacrifices and knew how to do it. And so as they move along, verse 7, he says to his father, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" Abraham could have emotionally broke down, turned around and went back. It could be a breaking point or a building point. And Abraham let it be a building point in his life. Number two, though, Abraham could have told him a lie. And you look and say, what do you mean a lie? Excuse me a minute. There, I lost you. Never lie. God will provide a right answer. Sometimes we feel like we're put in a spot when somebody asks us a question. We feel like they are trying to get us. That's when you pray quickly. Lord, give me the answer. And God gave him the answer right there and then. God will provide himself a lamb. You know, after God tests us, God reveals himself in a new way to us. It's a new step in our life, another chapter in our life. And we are strengthened by the test if we surrender to it. But if we fail and we don't make the test, and sometimes we know we've failed and we feel so bad, we feel rotten about it. But listen, God won't give up on us. God will continue with us. We are important to God. He loves us and he wants us to serve him. And the way he leads us, all the way, my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Abraham's total commitment, faith, love, and obedience we see in the crisis that came before him. He built the altar, and no doubt Isaac helped. They laid the wood in order, and he tied Isaac. Isaac could have fought him. Isaac could have put him down, but Isaac didn't know what was happening. But here again, I think in it all, Isaac had faith in his father because he saw that his father had faith in God. We never read of Isaac fighting it back. But can you imagine what may have gone through Abraham's mind and Isaac's mind as he tied his son to that altar? And truly, again, a very defining moment in the life of Abraham and in the life of Isaac. The crossroads sometimes we say we get to a crossroad. What are we going to do? Well, with Abraham, there was no crossroads. He had already seen the path and he was going to go on. I'm sure that heaven must have been silent as that altar was built. That lad was tied to that altar. And there is the father with the knife. And we have God's response. The angel calls, "Abraham, Abraham." I don't know how nervous I would be in that condition. But it's interesting. Abraham had everything under control. When that angel called, Abraham right away, "Here am I." He knew the voice that would come from heaven. And here am I. Verse 12, it says that, "For now I know that you fear and have reverence for God, since you have not held back from me or begrudge me giving me your son, your only son. So didn't God know all the time that Abraham would be faithful to him? God knew, but Abraham didn't know, really. It was a test for Abraham. And a time when God could fulfill his promises. To hold back Isaac would have been idolatry. That which God had called him out of. However, to sacrifice Isaac was idolatry. And that which he grew up with. So Abraham left nothing come between him and his love to his God. God provided the sacrifice. Wonder what Abraham thought when he turned and looked, and there was that ram. I'm sure his heart was cheerful and thankful. It's hard to know what would have went on in his mind. But God provided. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Why were the two servants left behind? Again, we're not told. But I would, just a thought. When they got to the top and saw what he was going to do, those servants may have tried to stop Abraham from doing it. It's only a thought, because we're not told why they're left behind. But there's sometimes, another thought, there are some times when it's just you and God that has to do it. Sometimes it's just you and your wife and God. And it has to be done. And the two servants were left behind. There's times when we must walk alone with God. You that are younger, you know, it wasn't only Abraham that God was dealing with. He was also dealing with Isaac. Yeah. And Isaac learned a lot that day. Isaac learned how to submit to God, even when he wasn't asked to. Isaac learned that an old man you honor, you trust. His dad was much older, but he didn't lose his honor and his respect for his father. So he learned a lot, and this as well. And you that are younger, you can learn from those that are older. Don't always be judging them. Be asking them. Be inquiring. What about this? How do I do this? You think I should do this? Brethren and sisters, we are very important within the local assembly. In a time like we are in, I wonder if we won't lose some being so long away from gathering out. That is the strength of assembly. Gathering out to remember the Lord, being there together, shaking hands and chatting. I wonder if assemblies will lose some. And I pray that you don't. I pray that no other assembly does. But this is something that we need to be praying about. This is something, brethren, that you need to be watching for. And if God calls you to go and speak to a brother, a sister, a family, because they're wondering, be like Abraham. Here I am. Trust God. And he will lead you. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace. For every trial feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter. Ever been there? And my soul athirst may be, Gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy I see. Remember Abraham. If you're in a trial, you're wondering, just read this chapter over again. And look at how Abraham responded to God. How is our faith? One day at a time is what God has given us. One day at a time, we wake up, and our first thoughts should be about God. Give him our first attention. Read a portion from the Word of God. I think I mentioned last time, I have a little daily calendar with a saying on it, and sometimes it gives you a real, as it were, a shot in the arm for the day. Trust him and walk with him throughout the day.